All right, we're glad you're here this morning. Always good to be together with the Lord's people. We trust you will be blessed for being here today. I do want to mention a few things to help you be aware. Number one, this afternoon there will be a drop-in celebration of the upcoming adoption of Adam and Michael by Jason and Shani. That'll be at the Bennett home from 5 to 7. And there is plenty of room. So if you want to bring chairs, sit under the shade, whatever to make you feel comfortable, just come and join us, and it'll be a good afternoon. Also, a couple of other things I wanted to update you on. Many of you are praying for Ryan Emus. Continue to pray. He's feeling a little bit better, but he has results from some of his tests. Will be tomorrow, very soon, actually, Malaysian time. But pray that the Lord would heal him and give him the strength he needs. Also, you've been asking about Elizabeth Bennett. She arrived home from Lebanon late last night. She's doing well, and I'm sure trying to get some rest, but we will see her, I'm sure, coming up. Also, one other thing, we do rejoice with Seth and Hannah White at the safe arrival this last Thursday of Shiloh Joy. Hannah and Shiloh are doing very well, and we're grateful for the Lord's protection and care of them. All right, let's look to the Lord in prayer, and then Gavin will come and lead us in music this morning. Our gracious, our merciful Father, who do we have but you? You are faithful, always faithful to your own. And even if the earth gives way, even if the mountains fall into the sea, you are our refuge and our strength. You are a very present help in all of our troubles. So remind us today that though we will one day succumb to the frailty of our lives, you are nevertheless our hope for now and for eternity. Help us today to be still, know you are God. And now as we prepare to lift our voice to you in song, we seek to bless your holy name, and may you be honored by our service today. We pray that you would be preparing us for time of teaching, quiet our hearts. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. If you'd please stand with me, we're going to begin by singing of God's holiness, number 48, Holy, Holy, Holy.
Some shall rise.
continue to praise him with number two. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty. Number 64. Let's thank the Lord for the peace that he provides when we trust in him. Like a river glorious. Number 64.
Finding as he promised. Let's look at God's word this morning to Psalm 46. This psalm is very significant in my life, my family's life. Some of you know that my grandmother, my mother, my uncle, and some others were on a raft in 1942, subject to torpedoing by a German U-boat. My grandmother was the only lady on the raft, but she was teaching the young people on the raft this psalm, as they didn't have any Bible, they just were doing it by memory. The amazing thing about this psalm is the reality of this psalm was in her life and their life at this particular time, just as it is in our time. And it's just a fantastic psalm to be reading and going over and realizing this is God's word. It was good then, it's good now. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning and we read these words, we think about these words, but really applying these words to us sometimes is distant. But you are our refuge and our strength. You are our help in trouble. As this psalm presents, there's so many challenges in the world. We see that even currently in our day and age, in this time. The nations are in uproar. Our nation's in uproar. And yet above it all, Lord, you are our fortress. You are our strength. You are our sustainer. We understand that it's important for us to be still, or in another way of saying it, cease striving. Just stand before you and know you're God. That's the way we look today. That's the way we need to understand how we can operate in this time frame. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. In your name we ask. Amen.
Stand again and turn to 368, please. Before we open up the word again, let's continue to commit our time to him and ask that he would speak. Number 368. It's okay, Bonnie.
You have to understand about playing the piano, there's 88 keys and it's easy to get the wrong ones. I really do appreciate the ladies that so faithfully play each Sunday. We are blessed here in church with musicians and very thankful for them, and hope they don't mind me poking at them a little bit every now and then. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your blessings. Lord, we thank you that we can sing your praises. Father, I just pray that we might think of what we sing, that especially in these next few moments, that you would speak to us and teach us and cause us to grow, cause us to rest in you till the earth is full of your glory. We look forward to that day, Father. But do bless our time together. Thank you for the ones that are here. Thank you for some even that are home perhaps listening or seeing us. And we just pray your blessing upon your people today through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would please turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. Today, I just want to give us a reality check or cause you to check yourself. What do you really believe? Now, if you listen to the words of the songs, the first two songs about the greatness of God, and then the third song about the great peace we have if our hearts are stayed on thee, and we'll close with another song about that same thing, and then the psalm that was read, how we have our refuge and our stronghold in God. I mean, do we really believe that? And it's important because every now and then I think the churches, our church today, would fit back in the first century in 1 Peter, wrote to a church, written to a church that was scattered, a church that was under great trial, going through some things, and they needed encouragement, and they needed remembering, they needed to be reminded of what they believed. And so today we do want to remind you of what you believe, hopefully, or what you're supposed to believe, if you don't, in the situations we find ourselves today. One of the key words in 1 Peter is the word suffering. The situations that the early church was going through. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But suffering, and you look around and it's normal. And it's to be anticipated. We have an adversary, 1 Peter 5:8 says, that his goal is to devour us, to destroy our faith, to destroy to turn people away and prevent others from getting sin. He deals in our lives in with respect to sin. He deals in our lives with respect to people that we meet. I may be great, it's just that people around me that bring out the worst in me, so something like that. You laugh, it works. Deals with us through the government, the policies and the procedures and the behavior and activities that the government causes and the judicial law, the laws and stuff. He deals with us in society everywhere. We live in who would have thought our society would be the way it is today, with the economy the way it is, with the protests and all that sort of stuff, with a definite anti-Christian trend, believe it or not. When you read about all the problems, sooner or later someone will say, part of the cause is those fundamentalists. They're just anti-Christian. Now they go to church, they're good people, and they might do some good things, but they don't like fundamentalists. People who believe something. He even uses things like the plague, diseases. Just Satan is around seeking to devour us, to destroy our faith. And so we need to remind ourselves every now and then, what do we believe? And we need to remind ourselves or come anew to the fact that we're in a hostile world. The sun comes up in the east and goes down in the west, and we're thankful for God's faithfulness. But we're in a hostile world. We're in a fallen world, and it's not conducive to Christians. And we need to remind ourselves, review consistently what we believe. Now, we ought to have expected that nothing that's happening ought to take us by surprise. You remember some of the Lord's last words to his disciples in Gospel of John, they hated me, they'll hate you. And the whole world functions on that principle. They hated the Lord, they hate us. The Gospels describe Christianity as a narrow way. That word narrow means constricted and squished and under pressure. And it talks about the cross, which is an instrument of death. Sometimes we mistake it for an instrument of decoration. And we have it around, but it's not here to decorate this place. It's here to remind us that Christianity is a faith of death. See, and we just have to remember these things and remind ourselves, this is what I believe in this world. See, and especially in the times in 2020 where suffering in all sorts of aspects is just a description of our country at the present time. Now, when we read suffering in 1 Peter, we think about persecution, the government or the army, the people, you know, physical persecution for being a Christian. And that's one of the themes in 1 Peter, how to respond to persecution, see. But the word doesn't mean that only. It includes physical persecution. It includes being thrown into jail and being killed or thrown to the lions in the Colosseum and all that stuff. It includes that. But persecution is just a broad word meaning experiencing things, going through and being affected by circumstances. Persecution, the word suffering rather, not persecution, the word suffering can mean a good thing. Remember what the Lord said when they wanted to bring the little babies to him? He said, suffer the babies to come unto me, right? Suffer the little ones to come unto me, you know? And then later on he said, I have to suffer death. So it's a wide range road. We are suffering because we're going through experiences. That's all. Some could be good, some can be bad, but how do we go through suffering, see? And make no mistake, we're in a time of suffering today in going through experiences we never even dreamed we would. Somehow we can imagine America as being impervious to anything. We have this magic wall around us. Nothing can get through to bother us. Nothing except a little bug, you know, and that bothers us, you know, stuff like that. I read an article in the paper Friday. By the way, if you want to feel bad, read the paper. Seriously, did any of you look at it this morning? Tears come, I mean, you just say, you know. The paper started out with the toxic mess. That's the article that the world is in. Now, how's that for describing America the Beautiful? The toxic mess, see. And make no mistake, we're in one of these times of suffering, difficult times, not persecution per se, but difficult times, see. And what makes it even worse is that nobody knows what's coming next, and nobody knows when it's going to be over. And the fear that, will this go on forever? You know, the concern, the anxiety, you know, see. And so when we get in this kind of a situation and we're all in it, when we get in this, the only refuge we have as Christians is to go back and say, what do I believe? What do I believe, see? And so I want to tell you what you need to believe today. What you need to believe today, and that's a sort of a lofty goal, but we'll try. because no matter what is happening in any area, you look at the government, you look at society, you look at education, you look at health, you look at the economy, no matter what, no matter where you look, there's difficulty and disaster, and people are getting hurt and people are dying, and it's just not good. But all is not lost. We have hope, right? We have hope. And when you read the New Testament, you read a lot of hope. Turn just for a moment. We'll look at some scriptures that are very familiar. And so I'm reviewing these just because these are the things you believe, I trust. Romans chapter 8, verse 8, starting at verse 18. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. The anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will also be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but we also, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. For in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we eagerly wait for it. We have hope. And you can't see it. You can't read it. You can't watch television. You can't hear it. But we have hope. And we eagerly wait for it. And when I say that, you answer the question, do you? Do I believe that? That I have hope? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, much the same thing, starting at about verse 7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not despairing. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And I read that, and I have to say to myself in today's day and age, do I believe that? Do I really believe that? Because that's what gives me my hope, and that's what gives me the proper perspective on everything that's happening today. Our hope, all will be well, right? That's our hope. All will be well. Sometime. And you put all these things together, and then you read 1 Peter, and you say to yourself, but. There's always a but, right? Christians are good for buts. I believe this but. Peter's not necessarily writing about then. He's writing to people who are living now. See? If we were first century church, 2020, first century, right? If we were first century church, we would be concerned with now, not so much then. We know then. But what about today? and tomorrow, and the next tomorrow, and tomorrow's and go on. Peter's writing to people who are living in their day and age. Peter's writing to us who are living in our day and age, our situation right now. Not so much what's coming on in the future, although it's there, and he doesn't negate that at all, and neither do I. But right now, what do we have, see? And so we look to 1 Peter chapter 5, and we'll pick out a couple of verses here. But it's in the context of the Romans and the unbelievers and the Jews and the Christians living in that kind of a situation. And they had plagues. They had society against them. They had an unchristian, an anti-Christian atmosphere to live in. They would look at us and say, what's your problem? That's just the way things are, right, for Christians. That's just the way things are. So we need to look closely at what we believe and maybe some things that you haven't paid much attention to about how you believe. But before we get to chapter 5, I want to take a quick look at chapter 1 in 1 Peter and read just a few verses about our hope. Starting at verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. How's your rejoicing greatly today? See? We need to look at that. We have an end that's predetermined and guaranteed by God himself. See? God keeps me, it says. My end is reserved for me. I have been called to it. See? Kind of like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in Hebrews chapter 11. Remember those verses starting at about verse 13 and 15, 16, somewhere in that range. They wandered their whole life looking for their home. They wandered their whole life looking for a city that was built by God and looking for home, see? They didn't find it in this world, by the way, it says. They didn't get it, but it didn't change their faith. That's what they were looking for, their home. And I look at that, see, and it makes me a pilgrim then, if I'm looking for my home then, see. It makes me an alien and a stranger in this world. And Springdale, they may be making it happen. Whatever it is and whoever they are, they put out a good coffee cup, though. They really do. It's not my home. Not my home. I've lived here longer than in any other place in my whole life. But it's not my home. And it will be good to be home. And I have to keep reminding myself that one of these days I'll be home and it'll be good. But right now, see, and 1 Peter helps us, he's not focusing on that because that's just, we know is coming, but I hurt today, see. We know it's coming, but it's tough today. And Peter writes about today, what I look forward to today, not just that. And as I said, I'm not negating any of that. That's what keeps me going, see. I have a home, and it will be good to be home, see. But what Peter talks about is not when the Lord comes back as much as he talks about when the Lord intercedes in life, see. And that's what keeps us going today and tomorrow, the fact not just we have this future, which is plain as day and guaranteed because God called us to that, see, but today he intercedes in our life, and that's what I want to talk to you about today. Do you believe it, that it's not just a future, but a day, right today, see? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9. Resist him, talking about our adversary, the devil. Resist him firm in faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. Misery doesn't love company, really. This makes more people miserable, but do you believe that this is just normal life? This is our life. It's being experienced by everybody, every believer, all over the world. So it's not just poor us. It's just everybody. See. But the verse that pulls it together for today, do I have to look forward to is more suffering and more hurting and more problems and more and see the thing falling apart and. Verse 10, I have discovered, is a neat little verse that most people don't even know exists. But this is the one that you need to use as your basis for checking your faith. What do you really, really believe? After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Some words in there that are extremely important. First of all, and all English Bibles do this, except I think maybe the King James Version, in the Greek text it doesn't start with after you have suffered for a little while, it starts with but God. But God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, see? And that's where we start. We look at this world and say, but God, the God of all grace, the God who called me to his glory, see? That's where we start in this verse, really. It's just good English to put the clause in front of it, but the text starts with, but God, see? And notice, not God omnipotent, God sovereign, God holy, God almighty, all those big phrases, all these big descriptions of God, but God of all grace. And grace is not, and it's not even, but the gracious God. It's the God of all grace. And it's a very special way of thinking of grace. Grace is what he gives us in situations. God deals in things, in grace things, grace gifts, if you will. And he's the God of all grace, and he applies grace to our situations, not just big phrases, but grace specifically to our situations. You need salvation? Titus 2:11. But the grace of God appeared. You have needs in life? In Hebrews chapter 11, we can come boldly onto the throne of grace that we can obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I don't think that's Hebrews 11. It's Hebrews something else, but it's in there. Read it this afternoon and find out. But we come to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and to find grace to help in time of need, see. Grace is from the God of all grace. And I say, what interest does he have in me that he would give me grace? Well, he started it all because he called me to his eternal glory, see. I'm his. And he deals with me in grace after grace after grace after grace. See. The point is, we have a wonderful future guaranteed by God, and you can read about it in John and Romans and Ephesians and 1 Peter. But what most people ignore in verse 10 of chapter 5 is that he's not talking about the future, he's talking about now. One of the most important words in this verse is after. After you have suffered for a little while. Now, that little while could be a long time, but it's in perspective. It's just a little while because I'm going to live forever. And so whatever I've had for 79 years, it's just a little while. See? But the key word is not the little while. You might struggle with that and say, yeah, well, you know, I've been putting up with it since 9 o'clock this morning. That's a long time, you know. And the key word is after. After. Whatever is happening today in my life is not forever. There's an after for addressing our situation. Now, you have to believe that, because that's the way it's written. After I have done this for a while. And it's not the future he's talking about. He's talking about our life, how we're living here. You're suffering now. You're going through all these experiences. And most of them, in any way we look at our country and our society and our lives, any way we look at it, it seems to be bad. But that doesn't matter. After, it's after a while, see? It's kind of rough. But after means there's an end. You can't be after unless it's ended. See? At some point. At some point. And that's why we read those verses in Romans and in 2 Corinthians. This light, momentary stuff compared to eternity, this is nothing. Do you believe that? Now, that's a big statement, right? This is nothing, what we're going through, compared with our ultimate future. But after this, see. And we have hope, not just for eternity, but we have a perspective. Time here is just momentary. There's an after. It's our time, but there's an after to it. And so we fit 2020 into this. After 2020 and maybe 2021 or whoever suffers, it lasts for a little while. What's going to happen? And here's the most amazing verse, one of the most amazing verses in all of Scripture. The God of all grace, the God who just deals with me through grace, he gives me grace after grace after grace after grace, will what? Himself. God himself. See. Did you ever think of that? We're used to God working through the Holy Spirit based on the work of Jesus Christ. And you know me, I don't knock that at all. That's true. But this verse doesn't say God will send his angels to help me, or God will send an emissary to help me, or God will send somebody to help me. He says God himself. Now you think about that. The God who called you to his eternal glory in Christ will himself come. See? He will himself intercede. I think Peter's picking the words properly here. See, God himself doesn't say, hey, how's it going today? See, do you need any help? Call me, right? Call me if you need something. He doesn't say that. God himself, after it's over, at some point there's an after, and God himself will come into my life, intercede. He'll perfect me. And that word for perfect has the idea of putting things back in order from disorder. And we certainly are in a disorder now. He'll put things back in order in my life. Whatever this situation, whatever this time that we're living in has disordered me, made things unusable or broken, whatever, he'll fix. He'll put it back in order. My version says he'll confirm me. And what that means is he'll set me in a firm place. He'll support me. Whatever in this life has pulled the foundations out from under me or pulled the rug out from under me and everything's fallen apart and nothing's firm and I'm, and there's nothing solid, he'll make it solid. He will support me, see. He will set me up unshakable. He'll strengthen me. And whatever I have that's been weakened, damaged maybe, but weakened, or just worn down, you're just tired of it. He himself will strengthen me. And he'll establish me. And that has the idea, the word laying a foundation. It won't be uncertain what I'm standing on. I'll not stumble. I'll not fall. I'll not go lame. I'll not collapse. All of this, and he will establish me. And all of that will happen because he himself is going to come. You got to check your belief on this verse. True or false, right? God himself will perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish me. And we know. We do it all the time. If the CDC would just get with it and give me a vaccination, I'd be okay, right? If the government would finally get its head together, which that's a horse, and do something sensible and right and honest and value, everything would be fine, see? God himself will do that, see. That's where my hope is. That's where my faith is. That's where my belief. Hey, by the way, this God that himself will do these things for me is the God who called me for eternity, see. And if I believe that, then I better believe this because it's the same God, see. Just got to step back a little bit and look at what's happening in your life. I have to step back and look at what's happening in my life and how I'm reacting and what's my first thought. See, God himself, after this, whenever after comes, God himself will take care of me, see. He will intercede in my life. He will come, and I will be fine. Thank you. You know. Hey, this isn't just make believe, by the way, right? This is scripture. This isn't wishful thinking and pie in the sky that, boy, if I just hang on long enough, everything will work out. You know, it's not that at all, see? He called me to his glory. He's going to bring me to his glory. But until then, he's going to intercede in my life, and he will bring me. I look for my home forever. He's going to bring me there, and I wait for him to intercede. See? This verse is a good verse to start your reality check. If you're his, then he'll take care. And he will fix, and he will end it properly too, see. Do you believe that? Well, yeah, see. In this we greatly rejoice, right? I mean, really, see. God's care now and eternally, see. And it's all through the work of Jesus Christ. He called us to his glory through Jesus Christ, see. And if you're not in Christ, your after is not what I've talked about today. Your after is not God himself interceding to set everything right for you. Your after is wrath and judgment. Your only hope is for the God of grace to save you. And your cry doesn't need to be, hey, CDC, give me a vaccine. Your cry needs to be, God, save me. Okay. I'll tell you about that sometime too, but you've heard my testimony before. But I still remember that night when I was going to die. I knew I was going to die. God was going to strike me dead. And I said, God, save me. And that changes it from whatever and all the troubles to hope eternally, hope now for the after when he intercedes. And I would just leave you with this challenge. Check your belief. What do you believe? Do you really believe in that? That you are his and he'll take care of you after this and forever. It's guaranteed. But you have to, by faith in Christ, enter into that. And I trust today you can look at it as you look at, read the paper if you want. You look at all the mess, the toxic mess that the paper describes us in, you know, and you look at all the problems and all the just the stuff, and you say, after I have suffered for a little while, God himself will do this for me. It's great if you believe it. And so I would just encourage you, wherever you want to start, your faith in Christ, you're cared for by the one who called you to his eternal glory, the one who promises to intercede in your life. Check your beliefs today. Let's pray. Father, it's easy to sing familiar songs, and we thank you for them. It's easy to read familiar scripture, and we certainly thank you for that. It's easy to talk about being a Christian and all that that means, and we thank you for that. But Father, I would just pray that you would cause us to think deeply, to review, to meditate, to renew our foundation of faith in you. We do look forward to the day when, after you will intercede, you will come. You will take care of us. Till then, just cause us to rejoice in the hope that we have in you. We'll thank you for it in your name. Amen. Gavin's going to lead us in another song. You know it by heart almost, but it talks about your be still my soul.
If you would stand, we'll turn to number 60. We will close with Be Still My Soul.
Be still my soul, the Lord is on your side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to your God, new order and provide in every day. Best your heavenly friend, who thorny ways leads to a joyful end. Be still my soul, your God doth love to take, to guide the future as he as the past. Your hope, your confidence, let nothing shake. Oh, now mysterious shall be bright at last. Be still my soul, the waves and disappointment, grief, and fear are gone. Sorrow forgotten, love's purest joys restored. Be still my soul, when change and tears are past. All safe and
dismissed.